or taking any action on information presented in this broadcast.
The following program is brought to you by the CyberSoft Operating Corporation.
It's time for the Tri-State Area's brand new 50,000-watt radio talk show, Between the Minutes, featuring politicians, businessmen, and professionals in the community. Between the Minutes is brought to you by CyberSoft Operating Corporation, www.cyber.com. And now, here's the host of Between the Minutes, Peter Radradotti.
Good afternoon, and welcome to Between the Minutes, the Tri-State's newest radio talk show, brought to you by CyberSoft Operating Corporation. I'm your host, Pete Radotti. The first segment of Between the Minutes will feature Inside Your Computer. This is similar to my newspaper article, Inside Your Computer, in the Philadelphia Public Record, discussing many interesting topics about computer security. If security is the locked door for computers, then passwords are the key. Just as with any key, anyone who holds them has access. That means that cyber crooks want those keys. Unfortunately, the crooks are often successful at stealing the keys, and that includes keys to online banking. There are several ways that crooks steal passwords. The most popular and successful is automated stealing programs, which, in other words, are Trojans and viruses. The second is fraud and deception, which is most commonly used for stealing passwords to banks, email, and Facebook. Lesser-known methods are diversion, where you enter a website address and go there, but it's actually a lookalike that records your password. This method and other methods, such as brute force, are not as easy, but when they work, they tend to work well. What can you do to protect yourself? Well, the answers are complex. First, make sure all of your software has the latest patches installed. Secondly, make sure you have a good quality antivirus program installed. You can download a free 30-day demo of a good one at www.cyber.com. Again, that's www.cyber.com. Thirdly, do not allow your computer to remember your passwords for you, and do not record them anywhere in your computer. In addition, don't tape passwords to your screen where anyone who happens to walk by can see them. The best place to record passwords is in a small paper notebook that has a cover. You should keep that notebook in a closed drawer. It's also a bad idea to keep your computer on for long hours when it's not being used. That just gives crooks more time to potentially invade your computer or to use it as a launching platform for other attacks besides using a lot of electricity. Next, you need a complex password. Something that's really complex is also hard to remember. Decades ago, I figured out and started teaching a way to remember complex passwords. Take a favorite passage from a poem, Bible verse, story, movie, or anything that you will easily remember and associate with a site. Let's say you decide to use the nursery rhyme, Humpty Dumpty sat on a wall, Humpty Dumpty took a great fall. If you decide to use the first letter of the first six words, you get H-D-S-O-A-W. Then toss in a number that's easy to remember somewhere. Let's say my dog was born on April 6th. That would be 4-6. My password might now be H4D6SOAW. If instead of the first letter you decide to use the second letter, your password could be U4UDOARA. This is actually very easy to remember since you're remembering the rhyme and a number that you already know. Let's say that this is your password for Facebook. I would remember Humpty Dumpty with a huge face sitting on a wall that says Facebook. This example was simple, yet yielded a complex password. Don't use this one. Pick your own. There are many lines that you already remember. Things from favorite TV shows, from literature, your uncle's favorite joke, movies. Does anyone remember G-A-M-Y-D? It's Go Ahead, Make My Day, from the Dirty Harry movie Sudden Impact. How about W-W-I-T-N-O-F? It's We Were in the Nick of Time, from the Monty Python movie Holy Grail. Other things you can do to actually look at the main page and login page of your most important websites. I assume these websites deal with financial matters like banks, but you know, whatever's important to you, get used to the way they actually look. Notice if there are any spelling mistakes. If a fake page is substituted, they are often created in Eastern Europe, Asia, or Sub-Saharan Africa, where English is not the native language. There are often small spelling mistakes that can be used to give away the fact that this is not the real deal. If necessary, print the web page so you can compare it to a site that gives you a funny feeling. You should also pay strong attention anytime you get a funny feeling about something on the internet. You may not know why, but your subconscious mind has noticed something out of place. These are old inborn skills from when we were hunter-gatherers, and something like this could mean the difference between having dinner and being dinner. These skills are still with us and have adapted to modern life. Now let's talk about real life. All of my passwords are complex using the simple system I just told you about. In fact, my system is easier than trying to remember a bunch of random words, so it works well. The issue is that even I don't write all of my passwords down. Sometimes it's just easier to let the web browser remember them. The thing is that I'm aware of the risks that I'm taking, and I decide where I take those risks. I never allow my web browser to remember my banking password. They are complex passwords, and I've also set up my online banking to be read-only. Even if a crook got into my online banking system, all he could do is look. So remember, if you need a good antivirus program for your home or office computer, let me suggest a product sold by CyberSoft Operating Corporation. You can download a free 30-day trial from their website at www.cyber.com. That's www.cyber.com. In wrapping up this week's segment of Inside Your Computer, I hope some of the subjects I spoke about were helpful to you. Make sure you read my article, Inside Your Computer, every Thursday in the Philadelphia Public Record newspaper. We'll be right back with today's guests on Between the Minutes on Radio 1540 AM.
The multicultural voice of the Delaware Valley, AM 1540, WNWR, Philadelphia.
Here's an important announcement. If you sustain damage from frozen pipes, water damage, don't leave yourself at the mercy of your insurance company. Call Hillis Public Adjusters. We represent you, the policyholder. Hillis negotiates directly with your insurance company to get you the most money you're entitled to, maybe thousands of extra dollars. And the Hillis fee is based on a percentage of the settlement. It costs you nothing until your claim is settled. It's that simple. You wouldn't be your own lawyer. So why negotiate directly with your insurance company? Call 1-800-HILLIS-1. When you have a claim, your insurance company is the last place to call because they want to settle the claim for as little as possible. That's why you should call Hillis Public Adjusters. They'll appraise the damage, do all the paperwork, and negotiate your settlement. If your home or business was damaged, call Hillis Public Adjusters anytime, day or night, at 1-800-HILLIS-1. Why settle for less? Call Hillis first. Call 1-800-HILLIS-1.
Hi, this is Pete Rodotti, your host on Between the Minutes, thanking you for listening to our show. Let's talk about CyberSoft Operating Corporation. CyberSoft has always stood for integrity, quality, and cost-effectiveness in computer security. CyberSoft invented antivirus for Unix and Linux systems. With 20 years' experience, they support more systems than anyone, including Microsoft Windows. Computer security problems are not single-faceted, and your solution should not be either. CyberSoft products like the VFine Security Toolkit include cryptographic baseline management in addition to a virus scanner. This allows you to detect more than just a software attack. For a limited time, you can purchase a one-year Windows antivirus security license for $24.95. In any computer security fight with the bad guys, we will be the last man standing. Call 610-825-4748 or visit our website at www.cyber.com. Again, that's 610-825-4748 or www.cyber.com.
America's men and women in uniform sacrifice every day for our country so we can continue to do the things we enjoy most, like playing soccer with our kids. But that's not an option for some families. I'm Devin McTavish, D.C. United Defender and two-time Humanitarian of the Year. For more than 140 years, the Armed Services YMCA has provided support for military families. Please join the ASYMCA in taking care of our soldiers' loved ones so they can continue to take care of us.
The Armed Services YMCA, serving those who serve America. ASYMCA.org.
Looking to increase your business and build your selling power? Then you should advertise on Between the Minutes, the Tri-State's newest political, business, and special interest radio talk show, Between the Minutes. Heard every Tuesday at 3 p.m. on Radio 1540 AM. Between the Minutes reaches a large listening audience throughout the Tri-State area with 50,000 watts of power. You could increase your selling power by advertising on the Between the Minutes program. For more information, call 610-828-8333. That's 610-828-8333. Or email sales@betweentheminutes.com.
New World Radio, AM 1540, WNWR, Philadelphia.
Come on.
The Tri-State Area's radio talk show, Between the Minutes, continues on Radio 1540 AM with your host, Peter Radotti.
Welcome back to Between the Minutes, the Tri-State Area's new radio talk show featuring politicians, businessmen, and professionals. Between the Minutes is brought to you by CyberSoft Operating Corporation. For the best in antivirus security, go to www.cyber.com. Today's guests on Between the Minutes will be the Honorable Judge Holly Ford, who serves as Domestic Relations Judge for the City of Philadelphia under the Family Court System, and David O., who is a former district attorney and a former officer in the U.S. Army 20th Special Forces Group Airborne. We'll have Judge Holly Ford with us a little later on. Let's start off this segment, Between the Minutes, by welcoming David O. to the program. David, tell us a little about yourself.
Well, thank you very much, Peter. I was born and raised in Philadelphia, and I went to public school, went to Central High School, and then went to Dickinson College, went to law school, and then started my legal career in the Philadelphia District Attorney's Office. I did something a little unusual, and that is after serving for a number of years, I resigned from the DA's office to join the U.S. Army. And I entered as a private, went to Officer Candidate School, and ultimately served in the 20th Special Forces Group. And so now I'm an attorney, but I am running for city council at large here in Philadelphia.
You look like such a nice guy, but you were airborne? I mean, those are tough guys.
Well, you know, they are. And I would always say that, you know, my job is really just to exit the aircraft and then fall.
I'll give you one quick little story. I happened to be eating lunch with a bunch of airborne guys one day, and I happened to like wasabi, and I just eat it plain. And these guys were noticing I was eating wasabi, and, you know, here's all these guys that I admire as really tough guys, you know, honorable men. And they noticed me eating wasabi, and they were all impressed. It's like, oh, geez. Anyway, listen, this afternoon you officially announced that you're a candidate for Philadelphia City Council at large.
Yes, I did.
Why?
Well, I believe that, you know, Philadelphia is a very critical juncture right now. And this is not my first run. This is actually my third run. But since I first ran in 2003, back then I was talking about dredging the river and developing the economy, making Philadelphia more international. And I'm still talking about those issues. And I guess my point is that as Philadelphia each year seems to decrease in its capabilities to attract jobs, to lower the taxes, to provide for a good education and a good quality of life, that there comes a point in time where it's just very critical that we reboot the system, to put it in cyber language. Our city council, our city hall, is not responding to the will of the people, and the people need to hit the reboot button.
Let me ask you. You had your campaign rally this morning at the Constitution Center.
Yes, I did.
Why the Constitution Center?
Well, the Constitution Center, to me, really the greatness of America is found in the document, the Constitution, which really is based on the idea, the revolutionary idea, that one person, one vote, that people can govern themselves. And so the thing that I always say is the people are not wrong. The people, you know, because the people are the bosses. So when people say, why can't city government work this way? It's not just a question. It is really an instruction. They want to see better service. They want to see a higher quality of performance from their elected officials, because the elected officials really just reflect the will of the people.
Well, I have to tell you, it was a very impressive meeting.
Thank you.
You had, you know, over a dozen people endorse you there. And I'm just – for the listeners, I want to just tell them a few of the people.
Sure.
And this is just a subset, okay? Kevin Pasquale, Republican ward leader. Tim McShay, the former president and vice president of Firefighters Local 22. Bill Gaunt, the president of Firefighters Union. Rodney Little, the president of Fraternal Order of Police Lodge 106 and a sergeant major, U.S. Army retired. Sister Mary Joan Jacobs, the principal of Nazareth Academy High School. Dan Bozak, former vice president, Teamsters Local 107, and Bishop Goins of the Pentecostal Clergy PAC. I mean, you have the unions and God on your side. How could you possibly lose?
Well, they're pretty strong, and I do appreciate their support.
Well, I'll tell you, they were certainly very enthusiastic, especially the union men.
And the unions kept saying you were cheated the last time around, and they were quite strong about it, and so was Bishop Goins. Tell me why you were cheated.
Well, what they're talking about is the fact that we had a very a close race in 2007, and actually on Election Day, when you count the machine votes, I actually won by just 7 votes. I think it was the closest race in Philadelphia history. And so, obviously, we were the underdogs in that race. We were outspent more than 2-1. And the expectation was really surprising, was that I would not win. And so we were really very delighted that I won. However, the next day, I received a phone call, and I was told that none of the absentee ballots had been distributed to the polling places, and therefore none of them had been counted.
Isn't that
illegal?
Yeah.
Yes, it is. It is in a violation of the state's election law. So I was surprised.
Where was the Committee of 70?
Well, we did talk to them about it, and they really haven't done anything on that issue.
Okay, so you really were cheated. I know you don't want to answer that question, but it sounds like you were cheated. The union said you were cheated. You know, Bishop said you were cheated. I mean,
right.
Well, you were cheated.
I definitely feel that there was a definite failure in the entire process. And so, you know, that being water under the bridge now and yesterday's news, I'm just moving forward. But I think the sentiment is there, Peter. I think that one of the things that I have found about Philadelphians is that Philadelphians are very fair-minded people, and they really make a point of remembering injustices. And so, you know, when I first ran in 2003, even after I gave a really good speech and people were really impressed with me, they'd come up to me and say, "You're great, but it's not your time." And I, of course, as a you know, first-time candidate, I try to argue with them about, like, what time is it? But now when I go out and I see people say to me, "David O, it's your time." And I understand what they mean. In other words, as a candidate, I think it's my time. But the voters, they have a sense of their own about when things are ready and when things are ripe. And I've come to respect them.
Okay. You're listening to Between the Minutes on Radio 1540 AM and live on the web at www.betweentheminutes.com. Brought to you by Cybersoft Operating Corporation. Your host is Pete Rodotti, and your guest is David
yes,
O. I almost made you the host. Anyway, you know, why City Council at Large?
Well, City Council at Large to me is a very important position conceptually. In other words, you're representing the entire city. We have 10 councilmatic districts, and obviously the people from those districts elect their own council person. And that person knows all about the district and has every right to represent the people there about local issues. However, when we go to citywide issues, I really feel that the City Council at Large, those council persons are the best to talk about education overall, job creation overall, crime, public safety. Those issues, I think, because at that time, as a city council person at large, you're very neutral about the issues of one district and one geographic location versus another district. And I think so many of the times we have to pull all the different council people together in order to work together to make Philadelphia a great city.
So you're saying you want to be able to work for the whole city, not just one district?
Yes, absolutely.
What do you think you can accomplish as an at-large?
Well, I think that right now our city really is in need of having some change in its attitude, and I believe that I can bring that. One is that we've been very defensive, really in two senses. One is that we're out of money, we're always looking at tightening the budget, and just getting past today's problems. That's been the history of our city because of population decline, because of loss of jobs and other things. The second thing, though, is also the fact that we have a mentality in our city because we are a city of neighborhoods. And while that's excellent, it also brings certain attitudes, and that is when we get in trouble, it's been our history to say, "I'm going to circle the wagons, I'm going to protect my neighborhood at your neighborhood's expense." And so what I believe is that what we really need to do is recognize that we're all in the same boat. And the problems of one section are the problems of another section, directly or indirectly. And so what I think I add to this discussion is the discussion of how we bring Philadelphia into the global economy, into the creative economy, and how we look at tomorrow's jobs and bring them into Philadelphia. And that, I think, is really essential in the mix of this entire strategy of rebuilding Philadelphia.
Now, I don't want any secrets that your opponents can take, but just give me a hint. How are you going to do that?
Well, for example, one of the things that I've really – I'll give an example because I think, when I talk about global economy, I'm talking about the fact that we're always looking for where there is too much money and where there is not enough money. What we're really trying to do is provide the people who have money with a product or service that they can then get from us and vice versa. So the one thing is that we as a city really need to be involved in the global economy. And I don't think that we're really doing that to the extent that we should. And it's not like we have to start from scratch. We have wonderful universities, wonderful corporations, wonderful businesses. But I think city government really needs to establish leadership in bringing all those different entities together to put us into a competitive basis for the global economy. The second thing is that we have excellent economic engines that are underutilized and underdeveloped. And let me give you an example. We have one zoo in this entire region, the first zoo of the United States. That's the Philadelphia Zoo. And because there's only one zoo in the entire region, that means anybody, any family who wants to go to the zoo has to come to Philadelphia. But if you want to go to the zoo, you have to drive and find a place to park somewhere around the zoo. We have a regional rail line, and we even have a platform, but the train does not stop at the zoo. To me, that is so silly. And you're laughing.
Of course I'm laughing. It's funny.
It's funny, right? It's funny because so many people could just take the train with their families, get off at the platform, we'll redo the platform, you go down, and then we develop the zoo because the zoo will attract so many people. It will be a moneymaker for this city. And right near the zoo is the Police Touch Museum. And we could just continually develop that area around family use that is really unique to Philadelphia. And that's what we're looking for, unique areas in Philadelphia.
So it's sort of the Baltimore plan. Baltimore, really was a down-and-out city. They looked around. They said, how can we build ourselves up? How can we attract people? They rebuilt the waterfront, and now everybody loves the Baltimore waterfront, and it's been moving outward into the city from the waterfront.
Yes, that's a great example. And I'll give you another example because I was just laughing because you go to City Hall, and City Hall is really a museum. Beautiful woodwork and gold leaf under drop ceilings, and some cheap looking panel. That's what we've done with this city. We have one of the greatest economic engines, and that is we are the city of Philadelphia. We have history, but instead of capitalizing on our history and making family-based tourism and educational tourism, which is worth so many dollars, what we do is we put up little cheap things that attract only a small amount of money. It's not good enough for us. We have to recognize what our values are and what is most important. Now, I could say this, having traveled to different countries, where did people get their democracy? They got it from Philadelphia. We are the cradle of liberty. You go to any country around the world that has an education system, and people, they want to come to Philadelphia if you tell them about Philadelphia. They want to see where this freedom came from. And that's just one of the things that I think our city has really failed to do. I think we also, and I think this is something that your listeners will definitely understand, we don't have a tax structure that makes sense. In other words, our taxes are too high for the quality of services we receive. And our taxes have to make sense. We have to have taxes that provide for the services and the increase in services off of the profits that people are enjoying. But we cannot tax people to the point where they leave and move out of our city. So we have to take a look at our tax structure, and look at what really attracts new businesses, what allows people to have a good quality of life with great education and safe streets, and really do an entire overhaul, which would be tax reform, as well as zoning reform and other things that make Philadelphia a user-friendly, business-friendly city.
Well, on the other hand, I've traveled everywhere in this country, and I've traveled in many countries.
Yes.
In the Middle East, Western Europe, Eastern Europe, and I've seen a lot. I've never seen anywhere with as much potential as southeastern Pennsylvania.
Yes.
Okay. But we've been goofing it up for hundreds of years, and it's not the politicians so much that's goofing it up. And let me give you some examples. Packard Car Company, Philadelphia. The first commercial movie company in the world, Philadelphia. Philadelphia Dentist, in fact.
Yes.
The computer industry.
Yes.
Philadelphia and Bluebell. Okay. The commercial drug industry, Philadelphia. The, you know, versus the recreational drug company.
Right.
You know, the, you know, Philadelphia was the manufacturing center of the Western Hemisphere for 100 years.
Yes.
I mean, you had the old saying of send guns and money.
Right.
They were talking about Philadelphia.
Right.
We have more universities in the this greater area than anywhere or anything that I've ever seen. And yet somehow none of those industries are here.
Well, I think that if you look at it historically, there's been a number of things that have happened. And at least to the extent that I think city government is involved, one is you have to have tax policies that really encourage your businesses to grow and stay. City services that really promote the idea. You know, businesses that are established in Philadelphia do tend to want to stay in Philadelphia. So when people say, well, we'll do this one thing and fix the entire problem, that to me is not very realistic. There's a number of things that have contributed to loss of our jobs, our loss of our competitiveness, and those are things that we have to fix.
Yeah, well, I agree, and it is a really complex problem that it's going to be hard to fix.
It is, Peter, but I'd like to say this because I think that this is what the people want. I think there are really, you know, some very fundamental things that people want. One is they want to know that their government is working to ensure that the economic environment of Philadelphia is really favorable to businesses so that the businesses stay and are attracted to this city. And so that produces for them good quality jobs and good opportunities so they can choose what they do with their life, maybe start a business, maybe do some investments, something like that. The second thing is quality of life. Not everybody wants to live like a king. What they want to do is live in a place that they enjoy. They enjoy their neighbors, their neighborhood, the open spaces, the facilities. They want a good quality of life. And the next thing is they want to be crime-free. They don't want to get mugged or shot or bullied. And the final thing is we need a very good education system because that not only provides for families to have good kids, but also allows for a continuing generation of people who will bring employers and opportunities to Philadelphia.
Okay. We're going to go to Judge Holly Ford for a minute. Judge Ford, are you there?
Yes, I am. Thank you.
Welcome to the show.
Well, thank you so much for having me. I greatly appreciate it.
You know, describe a little bit of your job duties.
Well, what I work in is the domestic relations section of the Philadelphia Family Court. Now, I am a state employee, and I am assigned to the family division. And the family division in Philadelphia, because we're so big, has two different sections. One is domestic relations, which is where I work, which does support, custody, domestic violence. We also take care of contempt of domestic violence, and we do equitable distribution, and the divorces are signed in that area as well. I particularly do a lot of custody, and then we have 1801 Vine Street, which is juvenile prosecutions, and we also have the DHS workers there and the dependency over at 1801. I don't do that, although I occasionally have been there. I usually am at 34 South 11th Street. We're hoping, as I think you know, to get the new building up and running pretty soon so that 1801 Vine and 34 South 11th Street can be together and we can work together and provide the citizens of Philadelphia with better services because we're combined and not a half a mile away.
Now, this may sound like a fairly simple-minded question, but for those of us who don't know, why is domestic relations necessary? Why do we need it?
Well, unfortunately, families are dissolving at an astounding rate, and although you might like to think that everybody knows exactly what to do under those circumstances, they don't. We try to help them. We try to work with them so that the children in general are not left without a family to go to. And we try to make sure that mom and dad realize what the problems are and how we can help cope with them. We also have situations where people need support. And when I say people, I'm not trying to be cute about it. We have both men and women who collect support from the other party on behalf of their children and child support and spousal support sometimes. And on top of that, we protect people from domestic violence. And when we say domestic violence, it's household members. It's not only children. It's not only husbands, wives, boyfriends, girlfriends. It's also people who have lived together, like we have mothers and sons and brothers who have lived in the same household who also can be victims of domestic violence. And when that happens, we try to do protection and we enforce the contempt if there is a problem with it. So all of those things, I happen to be sitting in a hospital because my own mother is very ill right now. And I am telling you that I think when push comes to shove, family is probably the most important thing that we have. And if we can preserve it and make sure that our children and are not hurt when families are no longer intact, it's probably one of the most important things that we can do in our lives.
I agree with you, and I wish your mother very well. You know,
Thank you.
I've gone through this myself. It's very painful.
It certainly is. And I think the sandwich generation is getting a very good dose of it, where we're raising our children and trying to deal with the infirmities of our parents and their aging. And it's not always a wonderful place to be. But as much as we can deal with it, we deal with it. And hopefully in domestic relations, we help people try to deal with the glitches in their lives, too.
All right. Now, get ready. Here comes your tough question. You mentioned that both men and women are getting support. But it seems to me, and I've never been divorced, so I don't know, but all of my friends that are divorced are telling me that the women have the upper hand in domestic relations cases and that, you know, it's really just automatically in favor of them. Tell me about that.
I don't believe that that's true. And I think that it might have been a while back. And I think sometimes I have people come into the courtroom and assume that I'm going to be anti-male or that I'm going to be tougher on men. And that's just not true. The statutes, which are absolutely in control of family law, are very, very gender neutral. So when we are talking about the supporting, the one that we call the obligor, the OR person, and the person who receives the money, who is the obligee, it's the person who has the children or who needs the support. In this society right now, the disparity is usually that the men tend to make more and tend to be supporting. And so therefore, you're going to have more men than women paying support. But it does work the opposite way. We do enforce it both ways. And the statutes themselves are gender neutral, including the calculations. It's strictly in support. It's you put what mom makes, what dad makes, whether they were ever married or not. You put it together, and that pot is a total amount of net support that you pay, that you have, and then that you take a Supreme Court guideline, which is for the entire state, not just for Philadelphia County. Decide how much these parties would pay if they were still together on behalf of their children and support. And then what you do, if that number, for instance, is $500 a month for, say, one child, then you take how much mom makes and how much dad in proportion to one another, and that's how support is divided. It's pretty cold and calculating. There are not many additional factors that affect it. If someone has another family, that does affect it. And we don't take more than 50 to 55% of the income, but that's a lot of money to people who are losing it. And I understand it, but it's not because they're men or it's not because they're women. And we have same-sex couples who also pay support. So it's not a situation where there's gender bias.
Well, I was going to ask you.
Society is.
I was going to ask you what rights fathers have, but I guess instead I'm just going to ask what rights different people in the problem have.
As far as what?
Well, let's say the payer. Do they get the right to see their children, or what happens?
No. Let me explain that to you. because you pay support does not mean that you automatically see or don't see your children. And I tell people if you pay $1 million or no dollars, it doesn't mean that you don't see your children. They're separate. Support is for the economic benefit of the children, or if it's spousal support of the spouse, and that's only for spouses, not for spousal support is only for not for same-sex couples, and it's also not for parties if they make almost the same amount. That spousal support is not paid, and unmarried couples cannot get spousal support. However, custody is an entirely different situation, based on the best interests of the children. And the best interests of the children have nothing. We believe that, as to the extent possible, children should have a relationship with their mother and a relationship with their father, whether or not their parents are still together, and what parents' particular feelings are towards one another.
So it's really gender neutral now.
It really is, and it's actually the statute is specific right now. They're in the process. We're getting a new custody statute, and in fact, it kicks in January 22nd. That they've specifically indicated that it's absolutely gender neutral and that there should be no implication by the fact that they use he or she within the wording of the statute. So, yes, that's where we are.
Well, that's just around the corner, so why don't you tell us about it?
Well, we originally had a custody statute which basically said we are going to try to make sure that both parties, we're going to say that both parties should have a presumption that they are going to see the children. That was under a 23 Pennsylvania consolidated statute, and there's a whole bunch of sections in it. Now the statute, and we're just starting to be reviewing it, and we haven't put it into place yet. It's for anything filed after the January 22nd date. It says, look, we have a lot of things to look at, and all those factors have to be looked at in order to determine custody, including how much parties get along with one another, how much they facilitate the health and welfare of the children, whether there's domestic violence. All of those factors are delineated, and we're going to have to check them off and look at them carefully. There's another major section of the statute. We used to have 23 Pennsylvania Consolidated Statute Section 5303, which was for enumerated offenses. And that said, look, under certain offenses, if you had, you could not get a custody order unless there was counseling, if there was a conviction for certain offenses, endangering the welfare of a child, certain sex offenses. And the court, on the other hand, in certain other offenses, which were also absolutely delineated, like aggravated assault, the court could consider whether counseling should be done beforehand, but it was not mandated. Now we have a very large statute, which is 23 Pennsylvania Consolidated Statute Section 5329, and it says we need to have evaluation prior to dealing, when we have people who have convictions of all of the prior enumerated offenses, we have to have an evaluation. And the mandatory evaluations show us then what the people, whether they're capable of having custody or not. One of the major problems with that is that they added enumerated offenses. One of the added enumerated offenses is a conviction of a DUI, a previous conviction for a DUI, and one is a possession with intent to deliver. Another is contempt of court for violating a protection from abuse statute. So now we have to, the criminal cases, when there's a plea to a contempt, which is a criminal charge sometimes over at CJC, and I go over there about once every 3 weeks to do those cases, if you have a contempt of court for violating the PSA, you actually maybe have a problem with getting custody. And the other problem that we have is that the evaluations are not covered at this point by any kind of funding. There was no funding given by the statute. We're trying to find funding for it, and I know that my supervising judge, Terry Murphy, is looking right now, and certainly Kevin Dougherty, who is the administrative judge, is trying to find ways to make sure that we can fulfill the statute. The other thing that we have in that is that the mandated evaluation does not mandate counseling, but that the court can do certain things at its discretion. One of the other big problems, which may in fact have a constitutional component to it, a question of constitutional component, is that third-party household members are included. So if dad is living with a girlfriend who has a prior DUI, even if it's 20 years ago, according to the statute, it looks like, and again, we're just going through dealing with these, it looks like there's a mandatory evaluation there, except I'm not sure that the court has jurisdiction over that third party. And it, I don't know whether the court can actually have the power to hear, to force a third party to take that evaluation. One of the other major differences with it is that the court is, there's no time limit. So we have people who had a DUI, say, for instance, or possession with intent to deliver when they were 19 years old. They were 30 when they started their family. They're 38 now, and the statute says, hey, there's a mandatory evaluation. So it's difficult, and we're trying to work within the parameters of the statute and fulfill our legislative requirements, but it's difficult, and there's no money to do it with.
Wow. Listen, we're going to go to a break right now, and
sure.
You know, we definitely want to bring you back on another show to talk about this some more, because this is a fascinating, you know, subject, and I didn't even get to ask you things like, you know, is a real court anything like TV court? And, you know, we'll save that for the next show, though. Anyway, you're listening to Between the Minutes on Radio 1540 AM. We'll be right back on Radio 1540 AM.
The multicultural voice of the Delaware Valley, AM 1540, WNWR, Philadelphia.
When disaster strikes with a vengeance, Americans strike back with generosity. Thanks to your monetary donations, the Salvation Army is there from the very beginning and remains until the healing is complete, serving the physical and emotional needs of disaster victims and emergency responders. Give today at 1-800-SAL-ARMY or SalvationArmyUSA.org and help the Salvation Army continue doing the most good.
Hi, this is Pete Rodotti, your host on Between the Minutes, thanking you for listening to our show. Let's talk about CyberSoft Operating Corporation. CyberSoft has always stood for integrity, quality, and cost-effectiveness in computer security. CyberSoft invented antivirus for Unix and Linux systems. With 20 years' experience, they support more systems than anyone, including Microsoft Windows. Computer security problems are not single-faceted, and your solution should not be either. CyberSoft products like the VFine Security Toolkit include cryptographic baseline management in addition to a virus scanner. This allows you to detect more than just a software attack. For a limited time, you can purchase a one-year Windows antivirus security license for $24.95. In any computer security fight with the bad guys, we will be the last man standing. Call 610-825-4748 or visit our website at www.cyber.com. Again, that's 610-825-4748 or www.cyber.com.
Looking to increase your business and build your selling power? Then you should advertise on Between the Minutes, the Tri-State's newest political, business, and special interest radio talk show, Between the Minutes. Heard every Tuesday at 3 p.m. on Radio 1540 AM. Between the Minutes reaches a large listening audience throughout the Tri-State area with 50,000 watts of power. You could increase your selling power by advertising on the Between the Minutes program. For more information, call 610-828-8333. That's 610-828-8333. Or email sales@betweentheminutes.com.
Hi, this is Anthony Murphy, Executive Director of Town Watch Integrated Services. And Philadelphia needs you. We would like you to join the Town Watch group or start a Town Watch group in your community. To get in touch with me, you can reach me at 215-686-1459. Or you can go to our website, www.townwatch.net, or you can go to philadelphia.gov, the Philadelphia website, and put in Town Watch, and you will find us and fill out an information slip. Philadelphia needs you to impact on the quality of life and help us to make sure that Philadelphia is a safer city. 215-686-1459. Thank you.
New World Radio, AM 1540, WNWR, Philadelphia.
The Tri-State Area's radio talk show, Between the Minutes, continues on Radio 1540 AM with your host, Peter Rodotti.
Welcome back. You're listening to Between the Minutes on Radio 1540 AM and live on the web at www.betweentheminutes.com, brought to you by CyberSoft Operating Corporation. I'm your host, Pete Rodotti, and our guest right now is David O., the now candidate for city council at large.
Yes, yes.
Okay. So we were talking about your plans for the city.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Tell me some more.
Well, I have different ideas about the city, and they're really based on some simple enough ideas, and I'll try to explain it. I mean, people say to me, can you really lower taxes while increasing services? How do you do that? Well, the basic concept is simple enough. In other words, you look at this table or some heavy object. If four of us try to pick it up, and let's say we could barely pick it up, well, you know, that's going to be too heavy for us. But however, if there's not four of us, but eight of us, it becomes a lot lighter. In the city of Philadelphia, we built a table to accommodate 2.3 million people. And in the course of time, by losing a million people, those people are no longer holding up that table. And therefore, the weight of Philadelphia is on the shoulders of Philadelphians. And when you add to that antiquated systems, that means systems that are prone to be very slow and efficient, that are not transparent, that do not have an online capability. There's not the technology that allows for the efficiencies and the accuracy and the accountability that people want, then it becomes even heavier. And so the performance problem develops. So that's an example of how by having a greater population increasing, so one is stabilizing our population loss, and then allowing for opportunities whereby our revolving door of students and other people come here to study actually find jobs in Philadelphia, because that's one of the attractive points of Philadelphia for employers. That means that we have a lot of students. They're very capable. If they want to stay in the city, we should be able to attract these employers if we change our tax policies and other things, make our city more accommodating. With that, as a city of neighborhoods, we can have a part of Philadelphia where if you want to enjoy, let's say, a Polish neighborhood, you could have that. If you want to enjoy a wealthy, exclusive neighborhood, you could have that too. But somewhere we can have a city that's very creative and innovative, I mean a neighborhood, which really we don't have a 24-hour section in our city, something like Manhattan, something like Soho. And really what that means is there's nowhere in this region where if you wanted to find the opportunities that a 24-hour section brings, then you got to go to New York. And I don't see why that should be the case.
On the other hand, I mean, I go to Manhattan fairly often. And, you know, a lot of what's in Manhattan is here too. It's just we're not 24 hours because, you know, a lot of people just aren't up at night here.
Right. The people who were here who are up at night are living in New York. In other words, we are losing a lot of innovative, creative people, whether they be people who like to write, people who write music, people who are artists, people who are filmmakers. And all of these things have to do with economic development and growth and jobs. Also, a lot of these people who are creative people also are people that we need to develop new industries in Philadelphia. We were a manufacturing town, that's true, but we're not anymore, and we have to really kind of provide the opportunity in Philadelphia for 24-hour type people. That means creative and innovative persons, so that we can establish that type of business here in Philadelphia. So in my case, let's say I got a family. I live in a row house, and you know, we pretty much go to sleep at night, and that's fine for me. I have no reason to be up at 3 o'clock in the morning. But there was a time, and there are some times, where when I have international visitors who are either doing research at University of Penn or coming in for business or even on their way between Washington and New York, stop in Philadelphia, you know, they want to go out and have a conversation or someplace to go. And that's not really that possible in Philadelphia unless you come to my house. Whereas in New York, that is possible. You can have a visitor or a business person from another country, be it Sweden, be it Japan, to come in and just have a place, a setting where you can talk and interact. Well, if you look at history, because I know, Peter, you're a big history buff. If you look at cities like Florence and all those things, where you had this mecca of people, artisans, architects, painters, sculptors, congregating, you had a creative element within those cities that allowed for public works and then new inventions and then commercially viable products. I think that's important for us to do.
Well, the good news is
yes,
that as far as I'm concerned, Philadelphia and the surrounding area is still some of the most creative people in the country.
Yes.
You're seeing people constantly inventing new things and trying to start up small businesses and make a success out of it. Sometimes they are success, sometimes they aren't. But what is unusual is the creativity. The level of creativity here is special. Also, Philadelphia feels like a home. It doesn't feel so much like a city. It is a city, but it feels like a home. And the fact that we have so many neighborhoods within the city, I mean, I've heard people say Philadelphia is a city of neighborhoods.
Yes.
That's special. That's
yes,
wonderful,
is.
And it should be preserved.
Yes. Well, the thing that I'm saying is this, that we can enhance those good qualities of each neighborhood. So there's a neighborhood for middle-class working people with working values. There's a neighborhood for people who want to live a little more in a wealthy style, some who like the modern kind of living styles. These different neighborhoods can be enhanced, but somewhere I do feel that we have to really accommodate and try to maintain a lot of the creative young people and other peoples that are coming out of our universities here in Philadelphia.
All right, David, give me three reasons why somebody should vote for you.
Well, I think the three reasons would be this, and I think the most important is, and this would be their choice. One is that they have to believe that I do care about them, that I care about the people, that I'm sincere about that. Second of all, that I'm qualified, that based on my education, based on my experiences, my service as a prosecutor, my service here in Philadelphia, my military service, but more importantly, my willingness to explore and adapt good ideas that are tested in other cities around the world, that I have good ideas for Philadelphia. So one is that they find me trustworthy. Second, that I have good ideas. And the final reason is that I will be able to promote an honesty within government by having methods that are transparent, and that I myself will be a force for ethical and honest government.
I'm going to give people a few reasons why I'm supporting you.
Oh, well, thank you.
One, you're a real person. You don't fake it at all. You're just real, and you're out there being yourself. Two, you clearly care about people, and you very clearly care about Philadelphia. Okay?
Yes,
you can stop me if you disagree.
No, okay. I appreciate it.
Thirdly, you are an intelligent person. You're not just speaking off the cuff. You thought about this. So these are – plus anybody who understands what it means to be airborne and that whole ethics that's involved in that, they'll be impressed with that. So, you know, those are my reasons for supporting you.
Well,
you know?
I appreciate it, Peter.
And we're going to bring you back on the show at some point so we can talk more about this. Right now, guys, you're listening to Between the Minutes on Radio 1540 AM and live on the web at www.betweentheminutes.com. I'm your host, Pete Rodotti. Your guest is David O. He's running for city council at large. We just have a couple minutes left, so your closing thoughts.
Well, my closing thoughts are, please, everybody, I need your support. And I need your support not for me, but for this city. In other words, I'm simply trying to be a person that will move forward on what you want for Philadelphia. Think about what Philadelphia could be, what you want. Is it now performing to your expectations? And the answer has got to be no. And it isn't because there aren't good people or smart people there. There are some good people and there are some not so good people. But I think every time you get a team, you got to put the right players in the mix. And I believe I will be an important aspect of a team that is really focused on the growth of Philadelphia and improvements to Philadelphia's conditions.
Now, if people want to find out more about you, what's your website?
www.davido.com, and that's with an O-H.
So it's davidoh.com.
Yes, and that website's being constructed, and we'll be adding to it. Now, I'm running in the Republican primary, so at this point in time, I'm asking people who are Republicans to look for my petitions come February 15th. I need 1,000 signatures, and then on May 17th, come out and vote for me.
I noticed that you have support across the board. You have a lot of Democrats. You have a lot of Republicans. People who are already in office that I'm not going to mention have all said that they're supporting you,
yes,
even though they're across the aisle. So I think you've got it. I think you're going to get it in the bag this time. What is this, the third time?
This is the third time.
Third time's the charm.
Yes.
You've been listening to Between the Minutes on Radio 1540 AM. I'm your host, Pete Rodotti. Thank you for listening. Please check out our website at www.betweentheminutes.com and listen to us again next week. Thank you.
Thank you.
The preceding program was brought to you by the CyberSoft Operating Corporation.
The multicultural voice of the Delaware Valley, AM 1540, WNWR, Philadelphia.
Me, down here.
What are you, a yellow booger?
I'm a banana slug, Steven.
Well, what are you doing in my room?
I'm your sense of adventure. Don't you remember me? Don't you know that we miss you?
Miss me? Who misses me?
You know, all your friends in the forest. The trees, the pond, that little fort that you made out of branches. We all miss you.
Mom took me to the forest last year.
I'm a slug, Steven. It took me a long time to get here.
Oh, I guess that makes sense.
The forest is not that far away. Have an adventure today. I'm sure your mom would take you.
You're right. I should get out. I want to have fun. Play in puddles, catch frogs, and climb trees. Hey, Mom!
Yeah, hon?
Steven! What is that in your hand?
It's my sense of adventure, Mom. It's telling me we need to get out of the house and have some fun in nature today.
Come to the forest where the more adventurous you lives. Check out discovertheforest.org for cool places nearby. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Hello, this is Barry Reisman with Klezmer every weekday morning at 9 right here at WNWR. We've got Andy Statman, the Klezmatics, the Klezmer Conservatory Band, Brave Old World, Dave Tarris, Giora Feidman. You'll also hear Paul Zim, Bruce Adler, Chava Albersina, and so much more. Comedy, contests, prizes, your phone calls, and lots of fun. It's a great new way to start your day. Weekday mornings at 9 at 1540. WNWR.
Healthy, fresh, Art Smart.
This week, enjoy Art Smart products your family will eat up. One serving of Van Gogurt contains the live and active culture your kids need. Buy one, get higher test scores free. And nothing satisfies a child's craving for self-expression like Tchaikovsky's Nutcrackers, now with more music and dance in every bite. Try original flavor or new Sugar Plum Fairy. Feed your kids the arts. Visit AmericansForTheArts.org to learn how. The arts. Ask for more. Brought to you by Americans for the Arts, the NAM Foundation, and the Ad Council.
In the wasteland of outer space, an epic battle rages.
3 degrees left! Arm laser!
We're hit!
The future of mankind rests with two brave souls.
Sir, we have no reinforcements.
Then we will defeat them with valor.
With the universe in their hands.
Commander! My weapon has failed!
Things were at their darkest.
Dad, my flashlight's broken.
I guess we'd better turn on the lights and get it fixed.